As they're going, there are one or two people I'd like you to continue to pray for. Caroline's still not well. Continue to lift up Chris as he battles his addiction. Continue to lift up all those that you know are unwell at this time. And those that have been unwell and come through that, I'm sure you were grateful for your family, this church family, praying with you and for you. And I know for people like Tom, he's been unwell for a number of weeks. And I know Richard has come through some tough times as well. And for me and for you, there are times we don't get to speak to people. We don't get to see people. And there's battles that are going on, isn't there? And we don't get the opportunity to see what God is doing. But the thing that the Lord has been placing on my heart over these weeks and possibly months is to have a spirit of gratefulness, to look back and see what God has done and to say, wow, look what the Lord has done. There was a series of messages that I brought quite a long time ago, but it's a particular message that I found it spoke to me, and it was talking about building altars. That's not really what I wanted to speak about today, but I want to share this. It's about building altars, and when you look through Genesis right through to the New Testament, you'll see that people built an altar, and it's named a certain name. And as they walk past that stone, that altar, whatever it is God called them to build, they are reminded. Could someone? That's all right. They're going to walk around. They're reminded of what God has done. And I entitled this series "Scars and Scabs." Sounds awful, doesn't it? But a scar is a wound that's been healed. A scab is a wound that we keep picking. That every time that thought, that picture, that person, that situation, circumstances comes up, we pick at it and it never heals. But a scar is something, I can look at my hands and I can see certain scars and they remind me of how stupid I was. That I got hold of a piece of metal and tried to pull it off of a car, and instead of pulling the metal off the car, my hand slid up the metal and sliced through. And that was a scar of stupidity. But I am so thankful that I can still use my thumb. And in the spiritual sense, it can be true. There can be scars that we can look at. We're reminded when we see a person, a circumstance, or a situation. We're reminded when we see an offense that we built an altar and say, Lord, you take care of this. And as we look back at that, we can say, look what God has done. Does that make sense? And I just want to remind us afresh that there are times where we've had to walk through tough times. What's going on with him? Are you being tickled? There's times where we can look back at something that seemed to be difficult, and yet we can build an altar and say, Lord, look what you have done. And at some point in the service, Pauline is going to come and share a few words, and I'm going to give her time. So I'll just say a few words myself, and then I want to give Pauline time to come and share. Last week, we heard how Alethea allowed God into her situation, how she allowed God into the what seemingly to be impossible situation, and say, Lord, you come and have your way. And through the help of family and friends and prayer, medication, and God's grace, she managed to walk through into the light, as Clive and I were praying about this morning, into the light from the darkness. So I want to continue with that whole theme of being thankful, because if it wasn't for the hard times, we wouldn't be grateful for the good times. And many of us, we've walked through. The psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So it indicates a journey, doesn't it? You're walking through something. So if you imagine you're starting at this point and that's where you want to go, you're walking through. And on that journey, the psalmist says, you will experience valley times. Even the shadow of death will come upon you, but the shadow is a shadow. It's not death itself. And it's a circumstance and a situation. I will fear no evil, he says, because your rod, Lord, and your staff, they comfort me. Your correction, your direction is with me. So there's a journey that we're on. And when we come to church, it's not a place where we just cheerleaders for one another, although that is true. It's a place where we can congregate once a week to say, Lord, I give you my thanks, I give you my praise, I give you my adoration, I give you of my finances and my time and my resource. Father, thank you for the blessing that you are in my life. It's a time that we can come and encourage one another. And sometimes your journey, your scars, will bless other people. And I'm prayerful that some of the scars that Pauline experienced in her lives, they're wounds that have been healed. That as she looks back, she can go, look what God has done. And this is the thing for me and you. So I want to continue that theme of being thankful. Last week, other than reading out Isaiah 61, I looked at a scripture where it's talking about feeding the crowd. And in verse 14 of Luke 9, Jesus replied to his disciples and he said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. I heard a phrase on a program a while ago, and it was talking about God's hands. And this person said, God's hands are found on the ends of your arms. And I thought that was really a useful thing to say. God's hands are found on the end of your arms. So we are, you give them something to eat. And it's a time to be thankful. Jesus Christ himself, he took of the small amount that he was given. And he looked up to heaven, it says, and he gave thanks. And he distributed it to the crowd. He gave what he had away. And the key for me, I think, in this portion of scripture is the giving of thanks. And so I want to encourage us at the beginning of this year, the small or the large amount that God has given you. I trust that as you give thanks, if I give thanks for what God has given me, and you do the same, God will multiply it. Whether it's wisdom, joy, peace, whether it's financial prosperity, whether it's your health, you can be somebody that's always in hospital. I can say this because Mike and I have had conversations over the years, and he could say, why am I in a wheelchair? It's not fair. Or he could say, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, then I'm happy to be here. That, Lord, I can minister to you through my circumstances. So I give you what I have, multiply it. So whether we're in a wheelchair or whether we're able-bodied in the sense that we can walk up our own stairs, it's an attitude of thanksgiving. And I know it may sound simplistic, but I want to encourage us as a fellowship to look at what God has done in our lives. Look at what he is doing in our lives. And I want to suggest that there are people here in this room that have walked through some dark times. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about heavy times where, because of what someone has said or what someone has done, it has caused you to question your faith. Should I be here? Is this real anyway? And then as we look at the scar and we allow it to heal and stop picking at it every 5 minutes and allow it to heal, suddenly we look at that scar and we say, look what God has done. So I think that message is still prevalent for us today. In Luke 22, verse 17, after taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among you. Take what I've given you and share it out. And he goes on to say, do this in remembrance of me. And there's a multiplication. We've broken bread together and it's not just, it's one loaf representing one body. It's one cup representing Christ's blood, but it's to be shared amongst his people so that we can remember, look what God has done. We can look back at that and say, look what God has done for us. It's a symbol. In 2 Corinthians 4, starting at 13, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. When God gets hold of us, We was praying before church and I made some glib remarks about Clive's childhood. But it's amazing what God has done in our lives. It's amazing what God has done. We have the same faith. We came to the Lord at different points of our life, but we share the same faith because there's one God, one Spirit. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with him to himself. That's the gospel. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you know that you're a sinner saved by grace, it's the sick that need a doctor, It's a sinner that needs a saviour. This passage of scripture is true for you. And if you don't, then it's still true for you. That when Christ was raised from the dead, he was the first fruits. So we can look back at that death, but we also look back at that resurrection. And we can say, look what God has done. He's raised his son from the dead. He can raise me from the dead. In verse 15, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So what I want to bring out from that simple portion of scripture is this: when you speak of God's goodness to someone else, it causes them to be blessed. When they're blessed, it overflows in thanksgiving. So the easy illustration for me to use is the ministry in Khufu. Khufu is a small village in Uganda that we as a church, partnering with Brandon Full Gospel, we're trying to educate children of that village. We're trying to provide farming facilities so that they can grow their own food. We're giving them livestock to produce their own meat. And whenever, I believe, from what Samuel has said, whenever they gather together in church on a Sunday, because there is a church in the school as well, they give thanks for you. So because of your generosity, because of your prayer and the way that we give into this church and this church as a whole give out into other communities, it results in thankfulness. And that's what this portion of scripture is saying, that people are caused to give thanks and it overflows. So this whole area of being thankful, I believe, is we use things like keys, is a key to seeing what God has done, will do, and can do in our lives. So at the beginning of this season, 2018, just to remind ourselves that yes, there may have been tough times, but if we stop picking at those tough times and start allowing God to heal those times, then when we look back, it will be an altar. It will be a scar. A scar is a wound that's been healed. That we can look back and say, look what God has done. We can look back with thankfulness and gratitude. In Ephesians 5 verse 20 it says this: always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always give thanks. Always give thanks. It says give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. But Lord, I thank you that you are with me in this valley experience. I thank you, Lord. And as I have used the word key, I'll continue to use it. The key there is thankfulness. There is something we can find to be thankful for, isn't there? You can be thankful that because Pauline's going to be sharing, it's a short service today. Something to be thankful for. Or not, as the case may be. If you was in Uganda, you wouldn't be thankful. Because I went out there and I preached for an hour. And they were so disappointed it wasn't three. That's why I love Uganda. It's true. It's true. They will do back-to-back messages all day and be blessed. But we have something to rejoice in. In Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. That's what it says here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So what's the antidote to anxiety? It's thanksgiving prayer. It's being thankful. Are we anxious? Well, I get anxious at times. I don't know about you. But as we suffer that anxious situation, that scar that we don't allow to heal, as we pray, as we give thanks, then God brings in the healing balm and he allows us to build an altar. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. There's lots of things that we can be anxious about in life. We can be anxious about our work situation. We can be anxious about our home and family circumstances. We can be anxious about our finances. We can be anxious about our health. We can be anxious because we don't know what we're anxious about, but we're just anxious. It's life, isn't it? The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. But to overcome anxiety, we can do that, Scripture says, through prayer, petition. Lord, help me. And the Bible says, pray as if your prayers have been answered. And that's where the thankfulness comes in. Lord, I pray that you help me in this situation in work, in home, in family life, in my finances, and my health. Father, I thank you that you hear my prayer. That's thankfulness. It's so simple, isn't it? Yet it can become so difficult because it's at that time we walk through treacle that we need God's grace in abundance. In Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, Father, through him. Whatever we do, whether in word or deed, let's do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. So whenever you do something in a what we say would be outside of church boundaries, when you go into the highways and the byways, in the schools and the colleges, when you go in the workplace, when you go in the supermarkets, whatever you do, whatever you put your hand to, whether it's words, something you speak or something you do, give thanks to God. Because as we give thanks to God, we can look back at our lives and say, look what God has done. We can build altars. We can have scars, which are wounds that have been healed and not scabs. So can I encourage you, it sounds awful, doesn't it, not to pick away at what God's trying to do in your life. Stop scratching. I have a wound on my leg. And it's been there for about 3 months. And it's still there because I keep scratching it. I keep scratching it. I won't let it heal because it's annoying. And sometimes you can see something in life that's annoying and you keep scratching at it. But can I suggest, whatever that is, let God build an altar in your life. Let there be a testimony. Let there be a time that you can stand up, and I'm going to ask Pauline to come and stand herself, that you can stand up and you can share and say, whatever it is God has called you to say, you can share with us that this was an altar that God allowed me to build. So I'm going to just take my microphone off so I can clip it onto Pauline. Now, many of you who speak in any capacity will know that it is a difficult thing to do. And I know because the Bible says out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So after you, Pauline. And so I know with confidence that out of the heart that overflows from this young lady, that she will speak of God's truth. So you clip that on you and then put that wherever you want it to go. Nigel will tell you if he picks it up or not. And then you share as God leads. Okay?
Yeah? Right, can you hear me? Yeah? Well, hello, everybody. I wouldn't normally want to stand out here and speak, but I feel I must. I have to share, as there may be someone else out there that's got similar circumstances. I wanted to tell everyone how the Holy Spirit has worked in me to soften and open my heart and given me the ability to love my mum. I now understand fully the scripture. Andrew's just said it, Luke 6:45. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because what God has done in me, I want to speak it out to everyone. I am excited at what God has done in me, something that I thought was never, never possible, and that was to love my mum unconditionally. I thought about sharing this for some time now, and I asked Andrew the other week if I could give this testimony. But I would like to share some things about me first, before I start, and then you'll get a picture. I wasn't really educated from the age of 14, so I got through life by being aggressive and having a sharp tongue. I could put people down very easily. And we know the tongue can build up or put down. I wasn't a nice person. I had learned how to use my mouth in not a nice way. I'm not proud of that. I had always had a difficult relationship with my mum. I was never tolerant of her. I resented her. I blamed her for everything. I always felt manipulated and suppressed. So for many years, I was very brutal. Even after becoming a Christian, a mum came to church with me too. I didn't really change, I just didn't do it in public. I was aware that this area in my life wasn't right and I needed God's help. I used to read scriptures about love and thought, I'd better try harder. When I'd been horrible to my mum, I'd started to get convicted. So I would say, sorry, and mum would just say, that's all right, dear. I take no notice. When she'd say that, I felt sad, and for a little while, I was tolerant with her. I knew she loved me, but I didn't get any better, and mum always put up with me. My thoughts were that my mum always seemed to be able to press the right buttons and I would blow up yet again. It was always her fault, of course it was. I was so proud and arrogant, I didn't even consider it was me. I knew this wasn't right and I wanted to walk the path of Jesus. As in this area of my life, I wasn't. James 3:8 says, no man can control his tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I needed to pray on a daily basis for God to help me control my mouth. And in Proverbs 15, it says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 18 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. As I started to rely on God and trust him, he started to convict me even more. I knew I was wrong. I wanted to walk this path of Jesus, and in this area, it definitely wasn't happening. I would study scripture about love, and in 1 Corinthians, we all know it, don't we? It defines love. Love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy, it does not boast, it's not proud. It's not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Wow, I certainly wasn't patient or kind, and I definitely was rude and got angry easy and always kept records of wrongs. And this isn't how God wanted me to be. We all have different gifts and love is available to everyone. Love is utterly unselfish and this kind of love went against all my natural inclinations. I wanted to change, and I spoke to Susan about it. Susan said she'd pray and told me to pray as well. I prayed and repented, and I was so sorry for what I'd been like over the years, not only to my mum, but also sorry to God, because from the time I became a Christian, I knew I wanted to please God and do his work. I felt a complete failure. But I knew God loved me. He still loved me. And I was confident of his love. And that's what spurred me on. In 1 John 3, it says, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. So no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. I knew what I needed to do. I needed to abide in Christ, in whom there is no sin. And Christ would live out his own life in me, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And would equip me for the life in which I always do the things that are pleasing in his sight. I spent time with God and was still praying, but nothing happened. I spoke to Susan again. I said, I'm trying, but it's not working. Just couldn't work it out. And then Susan says, you have to let God do the work. What does that mean? God do the work. I studied more, and in Isaiah 40, it said that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So I started to wait, along with more prayer. I was expecting that his promise of strength would help me to rise above my difficulties. I was trusting in him. Round about the same time, Mum broke her arm and came to stay with us. And without realising it, I was looking after her, doing things for her that I'd never done before. Personal things like showering her, dressing her, just being there for her needs. I remember feeling very sad and emotional because my mum was so, so vulnerable. And it wasn't her fault. She didn't want me to be doing these things for her. She told me she felt ashamed that I was having to help her in this way. We became closer, and I asked Mum for her forgiveness for all the horrible things I had said and done over the years. She just said, there's nothing to forgive you for, and that she was very thankful for my help. My heart broke. I finally had an understanding of what it must be like for her. Her gratitude was overwhelming, and she gave me her forgiveness. I started to enjoy her company, and she lived with us for about 8 weeks. That was the start of God working in me. I liked this change. I had the understanding that this is how God loves. And in 1 John 4 it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I knew I had to study about Jesus if I wanted to be like him. I needed to know about his life and how he loved. I also had to learn not to do this in my own strength. It took time and waiting on God. I had the desire, I had the discipline, and I was committed, ready to run the race the scripture tells us to do. In Hebrews it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. I knew I was about to run the race of my life, and my eyes were definitely fixed on Jesus. I'd read in Ephesians 3 about God strengthening the inner man. So those were my prayers, and are every day, that he would strengthen my inner man as I needed God's love to run through me. I could not do this on my own, and having felt this love for my mum, I didn't want to lose it. I needed God to help me. 2 years ago, Mum got diagnosed with dementia. And since then, I've looked after her at a distance, going to Downham Market where she lived. Most days, I'd make sure the care was cared for her properly. And I used to do her shopping and generally keep an eye on her. I fought for Mum's needs and enjoyed looking after her. Mum had a fall in July last year and broke her hip. She had the operation but wasn't well. And after a spell in hospital, they moved her to Swaffham Cottage Hospital. Mum deteriorated very quickly. She lost weight and went down to 4 stone. Doctors called me in for a meeting and told me Mum probably only had 6 months or less to live. And they told me that Mum needed full-time care. I didn't want to make that decision because I knew how Mum felt about care homes. And my relationship with Mum was so good that I didn't want to ruin it. I prayed that God would take this decision from me, and praise the Lord, he did. I was with Mum when she was told she needed full-time care in a home. Bless her, she was so humble. She said, "Pauline, I have to face facts. I can't cope anymore on my own." I cried with her. I didn't want her to feel I'd let her down, knowing that she's got to go into a home. I was so sad, but pleased that she was now going to get the care she needed. By this time, there was a strong love between us. She knew how much I loved her. All the bad from the past had gone. I wanted to love and protect her, and she knew and felt that. That morning was amazing. The love I felt for her was indescribable. She moved to Millbridge Care Home in Heacham the beginning of September. She has good days and she has bad days. I see her every day if I can, and I can honestly say I love my mum so, so much. And I thank the Lord for his work that he has done in me, enabling me to love her so much. When I'm with her, sometimes we sing together. And one of her favourite songs is by the Bachelors, and it's called I Believe. It's not a Christian song, but the lyrics, it might just as well be. It's a lovely song. And when I leave my mum, I cuddle her and I say, "Come on, Mum, give me a cuddle. Tell me how much you love me." And she wraps her arms around me and she tells me how much she loves me. And she says, "Oh, Pauline, I do love you. You just don't know how much I love you. You're such a wonderful daughter." And I say to her, "Mum, I love you more than you will ever know. You're the best mum in the world." And my mum knows that. Mum is very weak. And sometimes when I see her, there are signs of dementia. There are no signs of dementia. And these times are very, very special. The best thing for me is that God changed me and gave me the time to put right all the wrongs with my mum, to have such special moments with her and to tell her how much I love her and what she means to me. This time with her is just so precious. I want to be spending every moment I can with her. I am so thankful that God changed my heart and gave me a heart to love. This love is so overwhelming. I just wanted to share it. God has done a work in me, and I will be forever thankful. And in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And in Philippians 4:13, it says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." I know the power that I received in union with Christ. It was sufficient to do his will and to face the challenges that would come from my commitment to doing it. I thank you, Father God, for that. And I thank Andrew today for allowing me to share this with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to add or take away anything. I'm going to invite our worship team just to come and lead us in a final hymn. And as they're coming to say, there are times in our lives that we don't see change, but change is happening. There are times in our lives where we don't feel challenged, but God is challenging. There are times in our lives where, to use my words, but God's heart, stop picking at the things that you can't change and let me do the work. And I'm so blessed that Pauline could share. Pauline said to me, before church, she said, "This is not a sermon, it's just a testimony." Well, the difference is, when you give God the glory, when you bring in God's word, it becomes his message, doesn't it? It becomes a sermon, a word, what we like to say, that was far more powerful than anything I could have brought today. So thank you. Let's stand together and give him all the praise.
Andrew didn't know, but this next song is "To God Be the Glory." So, and it has a line in it which says, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice." So, as those who've heard so much about, so much to be thankful for and grateful for today, as we seek to leave this place in the next few minutes, let's be those who let the earth or the world, those around us, hear the voice of what God has done in us and through us today.